Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
First and 10, Harris. And there may have been a fumble. Oh, my goodness, a turnover.
Fake it to start. Oh, disastrous play to begin the half. And Malcolm Jenkins is going to cruise home for a pick six.
From 56. On its way. It is off the goalpost. No good. You can hear the doink.
Throws it down the field. It's caught at the 10. And this game is over. The Cowboys win it.
That's pretty much the sounds of the New England Patriots season so far. We're into the lunchtime hour. Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Good afternoon to all the affiliates out there. Worcester, Springfield, Cape in the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, and Maine. Those of you listening on 93.7 FM in Boston or 103.7 FM down in Providence in Connecticut as well. By the way, congratulations to the state of Connecticut for almost getting their sports betting up and running. It'll happen sooner than Mass. So kudos to you as the idiots in our state continue to sit around and swap thumbs. The New England Patriots are 2-4, Keith, and if it said Patriots 3-3, would we feel significantly different about this team?
I think you would, because I think you'd feel a little bit better about playing Tampa and Dallas close. Those are clearly the two best teams they've faced this year, two games that I think they're probably going to lose. And I think if you were doing the old win-loss before the season began through six games, you're thinking, hey, maybe 4-2. Maybe 3-3, but 4-2, it wasn't that crazy of a thought. And the Miami game one just stands out so much because that's the only game the Dolphins have won all year. They're so bad that that is one that could come back to bite them. But it's harder to spin the, well, they played Tom Brady close and they went to overtime with Dallas when you're sitting there at 2-4. And there are so many teams in the AFC that are either 500 or better, and you're one of those teams that is right there with all these other, what we would assume are crappy teams that are 2-4 or 1-5. It's like, well, you're right there with them right now.
Get in your Patriot thoughts with us at 617-779-7937. 3T up and running as well. You can text 37937 in the Twitch chat, weei.com/watch. Why wouldn't you want to watch us do this show and get into that Twitch chat or on Twitter at Gresh Keefe? I said this to you in the off-air show, and I think that this is a part of the reprogramming, let's say, that we're all going through. In years past, it was, okay, they need a corner, or they need a wide receiver, or they need an offensive lineman. And on the whole, it was one or two moves that you could look at and say, well, if they can just figure out how to get this, then they're going to go on a run and they'll get to where at least we thought they might get to. And this year, it isn't that simple. And I think for all of us, there's a little bit of a mind screw there because, you know, what are you going to do? Go out and get a different special teamer to keep from punts getting blocked?
Yeah. I need a right guard on the special team, on punt teams.
Exactly.
It's not probably going to happen.
And that's where I think for a lot of us, there is an extra kind of layer of struggle in figuring out this team because we used to be able to narrow it down. And now it's been a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then you throw a little of this on here. And, oh, we did this well this week. But then we turned around and went backwards so next week.
I think, obviously, there's been an ongoing discussion for 5 years now about Bill, the GM, hurting Bill, the coach, right? That's been an ongoing conversation. And usually it is about the draft. I think this year the two trades that they made are mind-boggling to me. And you trade Sony Michel for nothing, and you trade Steph Gilmore for nothing. If you had a better corner, if you had Gilmore and Jackson as your two corners, I think your whole defense is better. If you have Sony Michel, not that I'm the biggest Sony Michel fan in the world, but you're not handing the ball to Brandon Bolden on third and one, or you're not running some of these other plays, like some of these toss plays that they had to certain guys, or if Harris is hurt or fumbled, you have another better option in some of these other losses that they had. So you talk about pieces they could add. Well, how about two guys that you let go? If you just kept them, forget any midseason trades, just keep the roster that you had going into camp, I think you're in a much better position.
And that gets into the numbers of, like, did they really want to keep J.J. Taylor so much that they said, well, we got to get this guy off the roster because Stevenson is on the come and he's
so much so that J.J. Taylor fumbles once and you never see him again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're right. There are some of those moves that are a little mind-numbing. And I do wonder, once Stephon Gilmore starts to talk, like, will we ever find out? Is this one of those deals where
he was just so soured on him, maybe, that he wasn't going to play?
Maybe. But would we ever know that? Because if there's one thing that Bill Belichick seems to be really good at is, on the whole, unless you're a Cassius Marsh and you're just being a whiny bitch, that these guys that get sent away, they never turn around and drop the verbal hammer on Belichick once those guys are out the door.
Think about how many guys have left. It's like it's a small handful.
And Samuel, did he start chirping right away, or did he wait until his career was over and now he's chirping away on Twitter? I can't remember.
No, he might have waited. That's a good point. So it was a little bit longer. But I just,
like, I don't think Gilmore is going to, you know, first press conference in Carolina, which, by the way, he did speak to some media down there.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be that SOB got everything out of me and then didn't want to pay me more money and blah, blah, blah. No. It seems like dudes don't put the bad mouth on Bill for some reason.
He's eligible to play next week against the Giants. We'll see if he's active. You know, his first possible week, Carolina now 3-3 after yesterday's loss. So we'll see if he plays.
So I do think there is a little bit of therapy kind of going on for all of us in terms of figuring out not only our own emotions, but sort of thoughts about this 2-4 football team that you probably have an inkling to want to say they're better than 2-4. But there's a reason they're 2-4.
Yeah.
And yes, there is where, because you would have thought at 2-4, it would have been, well, he looks like a rookie quarterback. He doesn't look like anything like a rookie quarterback out there in terms of Mac Jones. And that's a part of the mind screw as well, is that the guy that most thought, all right, it's going to be a bit of a rocky road, it has not been as rocky with Mac Jones in there.
No, not with Mac Jones. Now, I don't think it was his best game. I think he had some good numbers early on, and they obviously had very limited possessions, and they were able to score. That pick six, I don't think it was a great play call, but I also think it was a pretty bad throw, and that was obviously pretty costly. But every other spot has really let him down at times. Like the offensive line, I know Trent Brown got hurt, and I know there's been a million injuries, but even before the injuries, Trent Brown was right away, but even when 4/5 of the offensive line was there, it was bad. And once again, Mac Jones is getting killed out there. He's getting, like, this is what most rookie quarterbacks go through, is that part of it. Because most of them are on bad teams. Most of them don't have the offensive line because the team used a high draft pick on the quarterback and not a lineman, and they just get killed. Like Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, they get killed every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So is Mac Jones. But he's doing it on a team that we're expecting them to win more because of the head coach, because of the big money in free agency. And you're just used to Bill being able to figure it out. Of course, that was also with Tom Brady. And so I don't know how much of that is still a factor in here. But the receivers have let him down. The tight ends have let him down. The running backs, not so much yesterday, but they have fumbled and they have let him down.
That group
has across the board.
That running back group has been pretty close to a disaster,
yeah,
top to bottom. If it wasn't for Damian Harris,
right, who also is sort of, he's both giveth and taketh away.
Dinged up as well.
And he's hurt.
You can tell he's playing hurt. Like, it's
evident.
Oh, my God.
He kept limping off the field yesterday. He'd have a great run, and then he's, like, slow to get up. And you're like, oh, boy.
And we're in week six.
Yeah, going to be a long season.
How are they going to manage that? We get to you on these phones at 617-779-7937. Pete in Wakefield with Gresh and Keefe to kick off hour three. Pete, how are you, friend?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
That loss was tough, huh?
Yes.
They're a 2-4 football team. That's what they are. I mean, there's not one coach in the NFL that would have a better record with the talent they have. There's not one superstar on the team. There's no one you're afraid of. Dallas has, like, what, seven of them? Like, you can't compete with that. They did. So, I don't blame them for the loss. I mean, I don't. Belichick should not be getting the blame. It should be, as a GM, yeah. I mean, the guy's got awful. But, you know, he's about as sharp as a bunny's asses. He should be taking his draft picks, trading them for proven players. That's what he should do.
Yeah, I don't think so, Pete, because then you end up getting into a game where you're clearly overpaying for people. And it's one thing if there's one thing that has annoyed people about Bill Belichick for 20 years is he tries as much as he can, almost to his own detriment, to hold to the value. And if you just look at it and be like, well, I got this first rounder and I'm going to send it for this guy and a second rounder for this guy, and da-da-da, that's not the way to build a football team. And I think that Belichick has sort of proven that over the years, that he's not going to break away from that strategy.
But this year was different.
But it gets to, well, they did.
Not the pick part of it, but Aguilar and Smith and Henry and all those guys, because they were free agents, in order to get them, you had to pay a lot, but they're not worth what you're paying.
Well, as opportunity in terms of, well, it was need meeting opportunity, which doesn't really happen very much in terms of.
Well, it's because if you draft N'Keal Harry in the first round and whiff, you then need to make up
for it
by spending $12 million a season on Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
So you're kind of chasing it at that point, because that's just a position that he's really struggled to get.
And their plan to get T.J. Hockenson a couple years ago blew up when Gronk said, all right, fine, if you trade me, I'm going to walk away and retire. Bill had that strategy in place, and he had the dum-dum on the other end of the phone in Matt Patricia, who was willing to be like, ooh, I can get Gronk for a one. So, he was willing to give it to him.
No, well, of course, and Matt Patricia was like, oh, he played for the Pats.
I'll
take him. But I think with the Patriots is interesting now, because and the caller brought up, you know, Bill the coach and getting the most out of this team, they're making a lot of mistakes. For a team that, going into this game in particular, we said Patriots and Cowboys, the big coaching advantage is with the Patriots. And it took all of 2 minutes to realize that Mike McCarthy is an idiot. And they go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. Short field. And the Patriots score. But it's hard to say that if you're actually just watching the six games, that the Patriots are really well coached. They have the best head coach. Nobody has a better resume. Nobody will ever have a better resume than Bill Belichick.
It's the critical mistakes.
But how do you, like, Damian Harris doesn't know how to line up when he motions wide. Gunnar Olszewski's jumping off sides. You have N'Keal Harry forgetting to motion. He's in there for three plays and he's got a motion on one of them. He doesn't know what to do it. So, like, delay of games, these sort of, like, fire drill, like, getting the snap off. One of them, Mac Jones just had to throw the ball away. Like, it was just, like, a useless down. He had to burn a bad timeout. The special teams has been a bigger issue this year than it has in years past. Like, suddenly, all the advantages, or like the check mark that you would give them for coaching, it hasn't really played out that way.
Well, that's the thing. Is it coaching? Like, has that not been addressed? Has it not been coached? Or is this the evolution of young players that we're all not used to dealing with? Because in the latter years of 17, 18, and 19, it became about maximizing all the time you had with Tom Brady, not continuing to build the football team the way Bill had always used to, and, you know, like drafting guys and stashing them away, things like that. It became much more about the immediate towards the end of the Brady run than the long term.
That's true. And when you have Tom Brady, it was like for most of those years, for like 15 of those years, it was like having another coach on the field.
So
that's going to change things offensively. Whereas now, Mac Jones is also trying to learn, but he doesn't have the other guys to help him out. Like, that's why maybe James White is such a huge loss, because it was like having like a mini offensive coordinator on the field there too.
That is a great point, in that they have
it's more hectic without him,
and they have no layer to be able to keep that in the offense. It's almost like you've taken a weapon or a portion of the offensive plays that you could call for Josh McDaniels away from him because you don't have that other guy out there. It's, you know, the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to look back on James White going down and being like, you know what? That was way bigger than we thought at the time because it's now shown itself almost on a weekly basis. Steve in Waltham is with Gresh and Keith. Go ahead, Steve.
Guys, they got to do three things.
Okay.
First is get rid of Brandon. He's horrible.
I don't know why they put
him in there for a one-yard run. The guy is horrible.
Agreed.
Number two, they got to get rid of Josh McDaniels. His play calling is atrocious. And they got to go and get Dante out of retirement again. And if they do those three things, they'll be fine.
I'm definitely with you, Steve, on one and three. I'm not sending McDaniels packing, but I think it's definitely fair to question what's going on. I don't think he's done a great job. The Brandon Bolden play call, he only got one carry in the whole game. And like, let's do a third and one when we have the lead in the second half. That was dumb. And then that Mac Jones play call that led to the pick six, I don't like at all either. So he hasn't been great. But maybe it is time to call Dante Scarnecchia and see what he can do with all these practice squad alignment.
Yeah, I think in terms of McDaniels, number one, who do you go get? Because here's the one thing we do know. If you want to change the offensive coordinator, that's fine. But Bill Belichick ain't changing the scheme. That's not now that they got Mac, they're not going to.
Yeah, but you're also not doing it in season. That's not realistic. That's just he wants him gone. That's fine. But he hasn't been very good.
But even in the off season. But then again, I think we've added some context in discussing. You have no running backs that can block. So what do you do? Like, you know what I mean?
How about that Stevenson play, by the way? Oh. Did you see the one? So Stevenson, I think it was a corner blitz on the side. He's supposed to see. Not only did he not get over there to the corner, he ran up to the guard and fell down.
He
just dropped
out. Romo was like, the running back doesn't pick anybody. He was
doghouse. He was like doghouse for Stevenson. And if Harris was healthier in the game, we might not have seen Stevenson again. Because he went in and got the touchdown, but it was only because Harris had to come off the field at that point.
Yeah.
But Stevenson, talk about just a whiff. He's like, well, if I fall down here on the ground, that was awful. He didn't hit anybody.
And you know, when you can't run the ball for years, I would hate it when it would be like shotgun draw 10 times a game or something like that. But you're closer to that right now, even with Mac Jones. And I didn't want him doing it with Brady. I don't want him to get away from the balance of the offense. But right now, your probably most consistent way to move the ball is to put it in the kid's hands and let him go out there and throw it 40 times a game. And that is...
The problem is to who?
Well, and that's...
Because who are your reliable targets right now?
Again, what we're realizing is, like, I'm not as out on the tight ends as you are.
They stink.
However...
Jonnu Smith is useless. If he didn't get horse collared, he would have had zero help to the game. He was awful.
And
he also can't block.
They got to find somebody on the outside that forces defenses to have to think, where is this guy lining up?
No, I think, like, between Bourne, I know Bourne had the one play that was great, but Bourne, Aguilar, Henry, and Smith, none of them are playing better than expected. Maybe they're playing as expected if you had a low bar, or it's pretty easy to say they are underperforming across the board.
Yeah, it's...
Aguilar and Smith are definitely worse. Bourne's probably what you thought. And then Henry, he does have three touchdowns last 3 weeks. So he's probably about the same.
I would say, that's right. And unfortunately, I can't sit here and say with Smith and Aguilar that it's about them settling into this offense and this scheme.
And it doesn't feel like it's going to get better.
Yeah, that's the real problem, is that with those guys in particular. Spencer is in Beverly with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Spence.
Hey, guys. Great show today. Couple points I want to make. Number one, I am not a what-if guy and all this and that, but here's the reality. The game was winnable on their foot against Tampa. If these Patriots, right, won these games by the margins that they've lost them, they are a 5-1 club right now. We are having a completely different discussion, and we're also acknowledging all the problems that they still have. They're not that far away. If Tampa can come in your building and you've got it on your foot, That was just luck that Tampa got away with that one. The Cowboys were beatable, and they're stepping up, and this quarterback's excellent. The offensive line is an issue. They are not protecting him. This kid has to get the ball out within 2 seconds. What more can we ask for Mac Jones? He's your future quarterback. The question is, will he stand up straight by the end of the season? I'm not convinced he's going to be healthy.
Great point.
I'm going to level him. Did you see that hit last night?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Smashed on his back. Imagine if it was his shoulder. That could have been the end of him. It could have been another Cam Newton.
He's getting killed, Spencer. It's a good call. He is getting hit all over the place. And I understand what he's saying about, oh, these games are close, and like they could be 5-1. It's like, yeah, but again, if you do this with some of these other teams, like some of the other teams that are in the league right now that are 1-5 or 2-4, guess what? They probably also lost close games. But oftentimes they do come down to one possession or you go into overtime, one play. That's how these games are determined. And the Patriots have been on the wrong side now multiple times. So it's sort of like, okay, this is what they are. Like, how good do you feel about the Patriots in a close game right now? I don't. If there's a competent offense on the other side and all they need is a field goal, I feel like they're getting that field goal.
Yeah, and right now the defense has given you no reason to think they're going to get a stop in a big spot. I mean, what's really hurting them is the situational football that we have all taken for granted, that more often than not, the Patriots have gotten right than wrong. And it's really those close and late certain plays that are just biting you in the ass. Again, if I'd said to you 3 years ago, the Patriots are going to lose the game at home because they're not going to be able to close out on 3rd and 25.
Yeah, no
like
way.
Like, you couldn't fathom
no
it
no chance.
Based on the way we have all grown up and been taught from Bill Belichick about what matters to him about football. And those are the kinds of things that I come back to. Like, even when we asked Lawrence Guy, you heard the,
what do you say on that? Because I didn't know he didn't want to get into too much specifics, but I don't know if it's like a, hey, you know what, you can give up 10 yards or like, how do you play? Like,
like
it's not the end of the world
if it's fourth
if they
and 13.
Get a few yards,
right?
But like, for them to convert, to grab 24 yards and then set up their kicker who had missed earlier in the game, but from 49 versus 59, and that's the same thing too, like with Folk, right? Like, that's a huge difference. Like, the caller's like, oh, they missed a field goal to beat the Bucks. It's like, true. But it was out of his range. And I know he gave it everything he had, and it wasn't even a distance thing, but they normally don't let him kick from there for a reason because it's not a very high percentage kick.
And the play on that one was that slant route that got knocked down. I mean, Jacoby Myers was running wide open on that one, but the ball gets knocked down. There's your critical play in the game that we're all used to seeing them convert. And then you feel good about it. And when they don't, it's like, oh, F, what happened?
Because it works both ways when you say, well, they were so close and it comes down to this play. It's like, yeah, games do come down to one play. And if you don't make that play, you're going to have more losses than wins.
That's exactly right. And that's a big reason why the Patriots are where they are. Make us your new habit. That would be Gresh and Keefe. Listen to us anywhere on the Odyssey app. Ask your smart speaker to play WEEI. At some point between 1250 and 110, we should have Jacoby Myers with us. By the way, at 110, we will talk game 3 of the American League Championship Series with Buster Olney of ESPN. We got some What Happened. We got some Bad Beats. And, of course, you at 617-779-7937. Here's Shime. He's trendy.
Make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine.
A wizard with the stick.
And if you miss a show, download the podcast at weei.com.
Didn't get to sit on the couch for 12 hours on Sunday? Well, here's
What Happened
yesterday in the NFL.
All right, here we go. It is week 6 in the NFL. Of course, it wraps up tonight with the Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans. Bills laying 6 on the road. We'll get to more of that one later. Also in the AFC East, the New York Jets had a bye, but the Miami Dolphins were in action. The Dolphins and the Jaguars out in London.
What happened?
Well, two of the worst teams in football, and it all came down to this.
Faded yesterday, 53-yarder to win it. It's away, and he got it! He got it! Jacksonville wins and ends the second longest losing streak in NFL history.
Jaguars 1-5, Dolphins 1-5, and the question still remains, how did the Patriots lose to that Miami Dolphins team?
We are going to be sitting here the second week of December saying that.
I hope so. I hope so, because that means the Patriots are that close to a playoff spot.
Right.
Right now, 2-4, it doesn't feel like it, because there are a lot of teams in the AFC with better records than the, or a better record than the New England Patriots, including these two teams, Raiders and Broncos.
Hey, what happened?
First game minus John Gruden. How would the Raiders respond?
Carr looking to throw. Deep shot. Ruggs is down there. He's got it. Ruggs at the 5, and he takes it in. What a statement opening drive.
Second play, 48-yard touchdown. David Carr, or Derek Carr, to Henry Ruggs.
Raiders, I'm not a racist.
Raiders would win 34-24 on the road. Vegas 4-2. John's Denver Broncos, who he predicted to go 15-2.
That's right.
Cannot happen as they fall to 3-3.
Not exactly what I said, but well, continue.
I'm pretty sure I heard it.
By the way, sure. Raiders right now, it's the old if the playoffs started today, they would be the 6th seed right now, would be the Raiders.
Oh. Wow. How about that? The Kansas City Chiefs entered the week with the same record as the Patriots.
Huh.
They were taking on football team.
Uh-huh.
Chiefs got to win.
With a fullback, Burton to block Williams up front. The redirection. Touchdown, Darrell Williams.
Darrell with one L. Williams, 62 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns, a fantasy pickup we had for you as soon as Edwards-Helaire went down. Chiefs 31, football team 13, while Kansas City now 3-3 on the year. So a slow start for them. Patrick Mahomes, a couple more picks in the game, too, but also a couple more touchdowns and nearly 400 yards in the air.
The Chiefs are what I would call 2021 good. They can score, but good Lord, that defense, man.
It's not very good.
Patrick Mahomes is back, Rich. You know who else isn't back, though?
Who's that?
Jackson Mahomes, who recorded a TikTok dancing on the Sean Taylor insignia on the sideline.
It was Sean Taylor Day at football team, because, again, nothing to see here. There's no investigation in our club. Don't worry about some of those emails with Bruce Allen. Nothing to see.
My God.
So they retired Sean Taylor's number, and Patrick Mahomes' brother was doing TikTok videos on the memorial. He then had to come out and say, no disrespect. I didn't mean to do all that.
He did the, they told me to stand there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're on a number. Mm-hmm. Would you do a TikTok dance if your brother's number was on the sideline?
I don't think so. By the way, Washington only scored 13 points. So I was wrong about Taylor Heinicke. I thought he was going to light up the Chiefs. So that was a better defensive game. They shut him out in the second half, in fact. Football team didn't score in the second half.
Rich, Jackson Mahomes did post an apology on TikTok.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
He actually had a follow-up apology, too, on TikTok.
Hello there, your honor. I want to say I'm sorry for the things I've done. And I try and be stronger in this life I chose. But I want you to know
somebody would hit him
that
by
door I closed.
All right, thank you. Thank you for that, Patrick Mahomes'
brother. Somebody would come along giving him a Russian sickle.
All right, for what I thought might be the game of the weekend, Baltimore and the Chargers.
Hey, what happened?
It was not the game of the weekend, as this was an absolute rout. Baltimore Ravens 34, Chargers 6.
Six.
And Lamar Jackson had a great game, and in the post game, talked about all of his old-ass running backs.
Yeah, that was dope. You know, they was hitting the holes hard. Offensive line gave him a great hold to hit. And all three of them got a touchdown. Yeah, that was dope. That was pretty cool.
Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, and Le'Veon Bell all scored touchdowns for the Ravens as they improved to 5-1 on the season, and the Chargers fall to 4-2.
Their running back room takes up all the handicap spots at that stadium there in Baltimore.
Le'Veon Bell's touchdown run might be our slow burn this week. We won't have to slow it down. Oh, my God, that took forever.
He's not moving like he used to. Although he was very methodical even in the past.
Methodical.
He was a methodical running
back. That's a very good word for slow.
You know who might be good?
Huh?
Cincinnati.
I know they played Detroit.
Right. Hey, what happened?
But they had no problem with the winless line.
Burrow has it. Wide open for the catch. Mixon inside the 20 with a block. Mixon, and that's going to be a Bengals touchdown.
34-11 Cincinnati.
When you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough.
Cincinnati's 4-2 on the season. Joe Burrow had three touchdown passes, including that one there to Joe Mixon, who also had 94 yards rushing. Jamar Chase had 97 yards receiving. You buying in on Cincy yet?
Not yet, but you gotta.
4-2, nothing to sneeze at.
I mean, you gotta consider them a player. There is no question. Like they're a legitimate wild card contender again in the AFC.
Yeah, I think they have to be. And I know Detroit sucks, and that's who they played. But still, it was a road game. You could see Cincinnati maybe thinking they're good, laying down, and maybe winning a close game. Like no, that game was never in doubt.
And by the way, if you're an opponent and you're hosting the Detroit Lions, when that game's over after a victory. If you're not playing the weekend, save your tears for Dan Campbell. You're doing it all wrong.
All right, let's check in on an AFC South matchup. The Indianapolis Colts and Houston Texans.
What happened?
It's a game.
It's all Colts.
Wentz faking the handoff, slinging it far side. It's caught. Mo Ali Cooks. Touchdown.
You might remember the Texans from the three-point victory by the Patriots. Well, the Colts beat them 31-3. Indy now has the same record as the Patriots.
Analytics.
At 2-4, David Culley's Texans dropped to 1-5, just a game back of the Pats. A game back of the
Pats. I mean, when you say it like that, it's not factually inaccurate,
no.
But God, it feels hopeless.
No, it really does. Jonathan Taylor, by the way, went to Wisconsin, same school as James White, 14 carries, 145 yards, two touchdowns on the ground. He had one, like, 80-plus yarder. That was an awesome.
86-yarder.
86-yarder. That was an awesome run.
Yeah.
All right, let's check in on another game that I thought was going to be close, and it wasn't. Arizona-Cleveland.
What happened?
Arizona did not have their head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, because of the COVID-19. Didn't matter.
Murray with some time. Back of the end zone. Wide open. DeAndre Hopkins. He was the loneliest man in Cleveland. And Kyler Murray hits him for six.
37-14, your final. Arizona remains the lone unbeaten team in the NFL. A perfect 6-0. And the Cleveland Browns fall to 3-3 on the season, yet still a team with a better record than the Pats.
They're the Browns, and Baker Mayfield's shoulder finally gave way. It was the non-throwing shoulder, which does not look good because who in the world do they turn to? And the Browns are another one of these teams where it's like, oh, they got this, they got that, they got this. They just can't. They can't win consistently.
Baker Mayfield.
Kareem Hunt's also out at least 3 weeks now, too.
Oh, there goes my fantasy team.
Some of the other games really kind of stinkers. The Steelers got to 3-3 last night. They beat the Seahawks by a field goal in overtime. Of course, no Russell Wilson for the Seahawks.
The Steelers are 3-3.
Yep.
They bite.
And you're 2-4.
Vikings beat the Panthers in overtime. Both Minnesota and Carolina also 3-3. Better record. Yeah, there's Cousins MVP buzz. He did have three touchdown passes. Rams blew out the Giants, so the Rams are 5-1. The Giants fall to 1-5.
By the way, when does that teardown begin?
Giants?
Yeah, I would have thought that Patrick Graham, the D coordinator, might have got popped today because that second quarter was oof.
And the Packers continue to own the Chicago Bears, so much so that Aaron Rodgers told the Bears fans that after the game that I still own you. Packers are 5-1. Bears 3-3. And like I said, the week 6 wraps up tonight. 4-1 Bills at the 3-2 Titans.
So to bring it back around to the Patriots and sort of where they fit in the AFC, right now 1-7 in playoff seeding would be Ravens, Bills, Chargers, Titans, Bengals, Raiders, Steelers somehow would be the 7.
Crazy.
Followed then by the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Browns, and then the Patriots who are in there at 11th. But the one thing that jumps out to me is you look at a lot of the net points for some of these teams. Like the Steelers are 3-3, and they're minus in the point differential column. The Raiders are +3. Kansas City, who scores a ton, is +9.
And then you look at Buffalo, who is +108.
They're whooping teams. And so I would say in the AFC, out of 16 teams, 12 are still trying to convince themselves they can make the playoffs.
Yep.
Four are competing for the number one seed.
Jags, Texans, Dolphins, Jets.
Yep.
Out.
And two are in the AFC South, two are in the AFC East. Because you look at it, every team in the North and the West, every team has a better record than the Pats right now.
What's the biggest story in the AFC right now? To me, it's Baltimore, in part because of the schedule they've played and the injuries, and they get the Bengals next week before they go on the bye. Like,
yeah.
This has been a hell of a run for that Ravens team. They've showed some balls.
Yeah, because I was one of the doubters on Baltimore, so I don't have to say Baltimore is the biggest story. I think the Bengals being a playoff team right now at 4-2, that has to be on there. And maybe the Browns and Chiefs both being 3-3 is a bit of a surprise.
I think definitely the Chiefs.
Chiefs for sure.
Like,
but
we knew their defense was bad, but
you thought
is.
They'd still win. You thought they'd just win all these shootouts.
Epically bad.
So, yeah, I would say so. So, you go, there's your what happened.
That's right. Your what happened for week 6. And, of course, your little AFC overview. We've got bad beats, and we are on standby for Patriots wide receiver Jacoby Myers, who will join us on Patriots Monday.
Did you know you can watch Gresh and Keith?
This is so sobering when I say this. I'm a 46-year-old man.
Just go to weei.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Give me the LA Chargers money line against the Ravens.
That is Carolina +2.5 at home against the Vikings. Grim.
So I'm with Keith. I'm all over the Chargers this week.
I actually like Houston +6 in the first half at Indianapolis.
He still thinks Dalton's
keep
starting.
Keep this music up because my third one is the Patriots +3.5. Trap game Cowboys.
I'm with Gresh on that.
That's my third pick as well. Trap game Cowboys.
And I'm with you, Gresh. New England +3.5 against the Cowboys. Expose them. Trayvon Diggs isn't good.
Quick throw, and it's intercepted. He's got another one, and he's got a field ahead of him. Diggs is going to take it to the end zone. Unbelievable.
Well, a lot like the Patriots game. We were this close. 10-3 at the half. I had Houston +6.
As soon as they went to overtime, you and John had to feel pretty good at +3.5.
Because
so many of these overtime games just end on the field goal. And when the Patriots got the ball to start and then Dallas got it, you're like, all right, they're going to win by 3. That's what I felt. I was like, I had zero faith in a Patriots stop, but I thought they might at least force a field goal. Nope, CeeDee Lamb, touchdown, and they cover. That was the worst beat of the whole day.
Oh, I totally
agree.
Patriots
had so many chances to win, and then they just let it slip away.
Well, and we're into some bad beats here with Gresh and Keefe, and we are scheduled to be joined by Jacoby Myers, and we are going to talk baseball. Buster Olney joins us at 1:10. According to various Degenerati sites, apparently, the Cowboys covering and the game going over just, I mean, stuck it to the books in a big way. Favorites were, I think it was 8-10. 8 favorites in 10 afternoon games, all cashed. And for those who are wondering, you know, why are we making a big deal of the favorites? Because for anybody that follows the world of betting, you realize that the favorites are what fans bet. Favorites is what basically the public loves to be able to jump in on the favorite.
The
absolutely.
You're Joey Bag of Donuts.
So it was, in fact, there was one guy, John Murray, at the Superbook in Vegas, who said the Cowboys covering and the game going over was our worst case scenario. He said the final damage isn't known yet because there were parlays with like the Steelers and the Bills and the Dodgers who ended up losing last night.
Right.
But they said it is going to be a rough weekend.
Game
for
went
sure.
Way over. And when you were sitting there at 14-7 after the first quarter, you're like, oh my God. Because the it ended, I think it was like 50.5 going into the game.
Yep.
And I was leaning towards the under on that one. And then it just soared past the over. Of course, the big fourth quarter helped a lot.
Well, and Carolina, you end up having Carolina 2.5. There's a killer right there. So there's another bad beat. And how about this? You know, picking on Friday actually hurt because I had Houston +6, but that Colts number.
Oh, they got another point? Or
well,
half?
It ended up climbing to, they closed at -11. So I guess the 6 in the first half would probably actually end up, so maybe I didn't get screwed that bad. But the Colts were an 11-point favorite despite playing a similar 1-4 team. It just kind of lets you know what the degenerati think of the Houston Texans. And how about this? Only two underdogs covered, and they both won outright. And it was the Raiders who closed at +5 against Denver.
Yeah.
That didn't seem right.
No, they won by 10.
And the Cardinals +3, who blew doors against
Cardinals.
I said, oh, yeah, I think this is a spot. Cardinals are going to lose. And then it was it is the Browns on the other side. And you're putting your faith in the Browns, and that
can't
is a
do it. You
bad
can't
way
do
to
it.
Go.
It's the one team that you just can't bet on and or against, really, because you just never know with them. So the Cardinals, who are undefeated, play the Texans this week.
Oh, my.
Or next week.
Did you see the line on this game?
So they're at home, right? Arizona's at home?
Yeah.
15?
Guess the line.
15.5.
Gresh?
Probably 14.5. 15.
It opened at 17.5.
My God.
Oh, boy. So then the following week, they play the Packers. Actually, that's a Thursday game they play the Packers. That kind of sucks.
I just went to the Sportsbook Rhode Island app. For next week's games, right, you have Arizona -17. You have Tampa -13.5 hosting the Bears. And you have the Rams -15 hosting the Lions.
Boy,
that has a Shime three
parlay.
Yeah, that's got no
teaser. Teaser.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's got Shime's going to shave six off those. Real
I've been
quick.
Pretty good on teasers this year.
Did you guys see what the Patriots line is for next week? I know we're doing we're on to the Jets tomorrow, but just for a quick little, since we're talking lines here,
two. I don't know.
Seven.
Seven?
At home, yep.
They're at home, and the Jets are horrible.
That's
the Jets
true.
Are horrible. They're
you covered it last time, so I don't see why you wouldn't cover it again this time at home.
Yeah, but Robert Saleh off a bye, look out.
Oh, wow. I am shaking in my booties.
You get Zach Wilson a week to ice up after all the hits he's taken.
And by the way, there's almost a fourth double-digit favorite in Green Bay against football team. Right now, it's Green Bay -9.5.
A lot of lopsided. This is
that'll
like
get to 10.
This is the week in college football when Alabama schedules Chattanooga. That's what the NFL is doing next
Mercer.
Week. Mercer, yeah. Tough game.
The immortal Mercer. By the way, tonight, Red Sox, in terms of betting,
yeah.
It is Red Sox -115, a very skinny money line favorite. So it's Red Sox -115, Houston's -105 on the money line. And if you want to lay a run and a half with Eddie Rodriguez, +170. So you're betting 100 to win 170.
I don't hate that one.
I don't
hate that. Yeah,
I wouldn't bet
well.
It, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, all right.
If you think Sox mash, kind of like they did in game two in your first game at home, take the Sox, something like -2.5, you get them up to +250.
Oh, there you go. So
if you're gonna think the Sox are going to cover by a couple runs, that's you want to go bigger than
you figure
just
they'll
go
score
an
empty netter late. You might
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, there you go. So.
That actually bailed Shime out over the weekend with the Bruins.
An empty netter?
Sure
yeah,
did.
Empty netter. He had
Bruins
-1.5.
-1.5. Puck line, baby.
Wow. We hang for Jacoby Myers, and we will talk baseball with Buster Olney at 1:10. Gresham Keith, Patriots Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.